Hello and welcome to the program. First, the news with Pavla Horáková. The Czech Prime Minister has apologized to everyone who, as he said, could have been offended by his earlier statements regarding his flat financing scandal. On Wednesday, Prime Minister Stanislav Gross said he will step down if he does not receive the strong backing of the Social Democrats at Saturday's party meeting. Mr. Gross has been under pressure for some weeks over his family's private finance, with the affair threatening to bring down the governing coalition. After Thursday's coalition meeting, the Prime Minister Stanislav Gross said the Social Democrats were ready to continue in the current three-party coalition government. The Christian Democrat chairman, Miroslav Kalousek, said his party would not call on the Prime Minister to resign before the Social Democrat Congress at Easter. He said it was up to the Social Democrats to resolve the Prime Minister's scandal themselves. The Christian Democrats originally called on the Prime Minister to step down, while many Social Democrats demanded that three Christian Democrats ministers be dismissed from the cabinet. The opposition communists say that they are ready to start negotiations about their support for a Social Democrat minority government. In exchange for their support, the communists would require a change in the Social Democrats' policy. That scenario is one of several possible resolutions of the current coalition crisis, which broke out over Prime Minister Gross's property affairs in mid-February. The Finance Minister Bohuslav Sobotka has said that the costs of the Czech economic transformation between the year 1990 and 2004 exceeded 600 billion crowns, or $26 billion, with most of the money going to bank and company revitalization. Further dozens of billions of crowns were paid in support to municipalities and regions, Mrs. Sobotka said. The Supreme Court has ruled that the Prague High Court should hear the case of former Foreign Ministry General Secretary Karel Srba again. The court upheld the recourse filed by the Supreme State Attorney, who considered an 8-year sentence for Mr. Srba too lenient. Mr. Srba is serving a prison sentence for involvement in the preparation of the planned contract killing of an investigative journalist, who in her articles pointed to the dubious financial practices at the Foreign Ministry. A Czech climber has been found by Scottish mountain rescuers 2 days after going missing on Shelterstone Craig Mountain in the Scottish Highlands. The alarm was raised after the Czech man and a Scottish mountaineer did not return on Tuesday evening. And finally, a quick look at the weather. We can expect temperatures to rise in the coming days, reaching highs of 2 degrees Celsius in the daytime. The skies should be partly cloudy with occasional snow showers. I'm Pavla Horáková and that's the end of the news.
You're listening to Radio Prague with me, Kate Barrett. In today's program, the two feuding parties come to a provisional agreement in the Czech government crisis. Also, why are more than half of Czech Romani children placed in remedial schools?
If you were to objectively look at each case, you could not come to the conclusion that the majority of Romani students belong in special remedial schools.
And in today's arts, we talk to Czech literary giant Michael Vivek. That and more coming up, so don't go away. The feuding parties in the government crisis have unexpectedly announced a temporary ceasefire. 2 weeks ago, the Christian Democrats called on Prime Minister Stanislav Gross to step down over his domestic financial affairs, and he, in return, threatened to ask the president to sack the three Christian Democrat ministers in the government. After going right to the brink, the Christian Democrats and Mr. Gross's Social Democrats have reached an agreement that should put the crisis on hold. Pavla Horáková has been following developments. Pavla, what did the two parties agree on?
Well, Kate, after an unexpectedly short meeting on Thursday, the parties announced that the governing coalition will continue in its three-party form. The Christian Democrat leader, Miroslav Kalousek, said his party no longer insisted on the resignation of Prime Minister Gross and would refrain from any such calls until the Social Democrats' party congress at Easter. And at that congress, Mr. Gross, who's the acting head of the party, will seek election as party leader. So Mr. Kalousek said it was up to the Social Democrats themselves to solve the problems caused by Mr. Gross's financial affair, and in return the Social Democrats dropped their calls on the Christian Democrat ministers to leave the cabinet.
Now, the Prime Minister made the first step to reconciliation on Thursday when he apologized for some of his recent statements.
Yes, before the coalition meeting, Mr. Gross told journalists that he apologized to all who could have been offended by some of his errors of judgment and ill-advised statements in connection with the row over the way he financed his apartment. He also said that he was prepared to repeat his apology officially. Nevertheless, he maintained that neither he nor his wife Sharka had ever broken the law as far as their private finances were concerned.
And the Social Democrat Party Congress in 3 weeks' time seems to be a decisive moment for the ruling coalition. But the Social Democrats will hold another important meeting this Saturday?
Indeed, the broader Social Democratic leadership will be meeting on Saturday, and Mr. Gross is expected to present the next steps he's planning and also to ask the party leadership to confirm their confidence in him in a secret ballot. And although he has some opponents among the 200 or so top party members, he's counting on their support on Saturday.
And what is the atmosphere in the Social Democratic Party ahead of Saturday's vote?
Well, several high-ranking Social Democrats told the media that they saw the temporary agreement as a big concession to the Christian Democrats. They said that Mr. Gross should be equally hard on the Christian Democrats and demand an apology from Mr. Kalousek. And as far as the confidence vote is concerned, the prevalent mood is that a lot will depend on what further strategy Mr. Gross will come up with on Saturday. A number of top Social Democrats said that the crisis will start anew if Mr. Gross is elected party chairman at the Easter Congress, and therefore it would perhaps not be wise to stay in this coalition. They are calling for a speedy resolution of the crisis that has paralyzed the government for a month or so, and early elections still remain an option.
Thank you, Pavla, for summing that up for us. You're listening to Radio Prague. 70% of all Roma children in the Czech Republic attend special remedial schools. Human rights advocates and Roma groups argue that it is a result of systematic discrimination in the Czech educational system. In 2000, the parents of 18 Roma students, who are now between the ages of 14 and 21, filed a complaint that their children were transferred to remedial schools as a result of their ethnicity. Their case was dismissed, as the Czech courts found that legal procedures had not been violated. Now, these parents, represented by the European Centre for Roma Rights, are taking the case to the European Court of Human Rights in Strasbourg. It will be another few months before it's decided whether the case will proceed or not. If it does, it will be the first of its kind in history. Nicola Brabanek has been following the story.
Why are so many Roma children in remedial schools? David Murphy from Nová Škola, a foundation which promotes multiculturalism in the Czech school system, told me his views of the school system.
I think that the school system is inherently racist. I wouldn't say that it's a malicious racism directed against a specific minority group. I think it's more the product of a homogeneous society that's incapable of dealing with people who have different needs. One of the things that's important is to try to open up the school system more. And I think there's been a lot that the Ministry of Education has been trying to do. I think that it's a matter of using best practices that work in other societies and really just trying to make the school system more inclusive and then less what I call Czechocentric.
Jakou barvu mají tyhle dvě kytičky?
Bílou.
Grafická Elementary is a charming little school in the inner city of Prague. Over half the students here are Roma. The school is unique in its student-centered approach. Many so-called problematic children are transferred to the school and now thrive. I spoke to one such Roma student about her experiences in school before coming to Grafická Elementary.
Učitelky tam neměly prostě vůbec ohled, že se Rom nebo ne, prostě vás urážely.
The teachers there did not respect that we are Roma. They insulted us as they pleased, they didn't care. My teacher treated me differently than she treated the other kids. She would insult me, she'd say things like, go, sit down, you don't know anything, there's no point. It was a horrible feeling. I felt ashamed in front of the kids, and then when they hear it from the teachers and they treat you the same way, the whole class judges you. It really isn't a good feeling.
In addition to the hostile environment that Roma students may encounter in the mainstream school system, the tests which are used to diagnose children for transfers to remedial schools can be problematic. David Murphy again.
This is a very controversial point because the test is really culturally centric on Czech society, and it doesn't take into consideration any of the specifics of any other culture. And therefore, right from the very beginning, this test discriminates against people who did not grow up in the mainstream society.
David Murphy points out that sometimes Roma students entering the school system lack basic skills and that this is confused with a lack of scholastic aptitude.
There are certainly cases where Roma students will enter the school system and they will not have the same background as a Czech student, which means that in some cases they don't hold the pen or pencil correctly. They haven't been prepped for what is acceptable or not acceptable behavior in the school. How does the school work? What's expected of them? When they don't have all of this background information, it's very easy then for a psychologist or a teacher to simply say that this student doesn't belong in this school because he doesn't have the basic skills that all the other students have. So rather than asking the question, why doesn't this student have the basic skills, it's much easier to say, okay, give him a test. If he doesn't pass the test, we'll put him into the special school system.
The principal and school psychologist at Grafitska Elementary stressed that academic difficulties that many of the Roma children in their school face could not be separated from socioeconomic problems such as poor housing and unemployment that plague many of the families of their students. Moreover, many Roma parents are distrustful of Czech institutions in general. One Roma mother, whose 6-year-old son is having serious academic difficulties, told me why she was so reluctant to have her son undergo a diagnostic test.
Nechci, protože jsem mám špatné zkušenosti, protože jsem byla sama a vím, jaký to je.
I don't want it. I have bad experiences. I have been through it. I lived in an institution from the age of 3 to 17. What you say, they write it down, their diagnosis. If they want to know what is really wrong with a child, they should know the child from when they are very small. To just come and do a diagnosis like that, I don't think that's right.
Ale jako přijít jen tak prostě k někomu a aby vám udělal diagnostiku, si myslím, že taky není dobrý.
It is sometimes argued that education is not a priority for the Roma. I asked this boy's mother how she felt about her son's education.
Vyučení nebo vzdělání si myslím, že je na dnešní dobu strašně moc důležitý, protože si myslím, že vlastně
I think that nowadays it is incredibly important. He will be learning his entire life. If he's educated, it will be better for him. He will be treated differently. He will read, write, and talk differently. It really is different from someone who does not have an education. If he will be at school where he does not feel good, then he will have trouble learning. Education is definitely important nowadays.
A vzdělávala jsem si, že je to strašně moc důležitý vzdělání na dnešní dobu. Moc, 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 moc.
If the case of the 18 Roma students is brought successfully to Strasbourg, the problems of the Czech school system will be investigated under the scrutiny of the European Union. During the first hearing, the Czech state will argue that all procedures for channeling the 18 children into remedial schools were properly adhered to. The representatives of the students will focus their arguments on the educational system itself and what they call quiet segregation. Meanwhile, it's another school day at Grafitska Elementary. Regardless of what happens in Strasbourg, building trust seems to be at the heart of the issue.
What it really comes down to on both sides of the fence is a lack of trust, that the majority population doesn't trust the Roma student to work hard and make something of himself, and the Roma student doesn't trust the white school system to look out for his best interests.
David Murphy ending Nicola Brabenek's report. With the British 6-month presidency of the EU starting in July, the UK Minister for Europe, Dennis McShane, made a 1-day trip to the Czech Republic on Thursday to discuss various European issues with his Czech counterparts. As well as meeting the Czech Foreign Minister, Cyril Svoboda, Minister McShane gave a lecture at Prague's Charles University on a matter that has aroused great controversy in both countries, the planned European Constitution. Martin Mikulay has more.
Mr. McShane rejected the Eurosceptic view that the Constitution will establish a new superstate. Instead, he described it as an international treaty of many independent national states. One of the main goals of his visit to the Czech Republic was to ensure that the Czech Republic and the United Kingdom try to coordinate their steps towards adopting the Constitution.
We're continually exchanging views with Mr. Svoboda, Mr. Muller, other Czech friends, because the new Europe is a team Europe. It's a Europe of nation states, and we all talk to each other, because what Prague decides is very important, because the Czech Republic has the same vote that the British do.
Mr. McShane said that in the run-up to the referenda on the constitution, both countries should try to make sure that the public are given as much information as possible about what the document will really mean.
We're learning from all the referendum experiences in the past, and we will talk with the government in Czech Republic. But obviously, you know, there are other political questions at the moment in the Czech Republic, just as back home in Britain. I'm also a bit worried about getting votes for the British general election.
The Czech Republic and the United Kingdom are two of the countries where the outcome of the referendum is least clear. But Mr. McShane is confident that at least in Britain, the treaty will be confirmed.
We don't believe that the British people will repudiate an international treaty that's been negotiated and signed in good faith and honour by the British government, which received an overwhelming vote of confidence at the second reading of the bill in the House of Commons. And we'll have to wait and see what happens in our British general election. But I'm confident that anti-European candidates will not perform very well, and that members of Parliament will be returned from the Labour, Liberal Democratic and other parties that support the European Union.
The UK Minister for Europe, Dennis McShane, there. Well, we move now to a preview of our weekend programmes, and for that I'm joined by Dita Asiedu.
Okay, and I guess we can start off with Inside Central Europe, which is broadcast on some of our times and frequencies over the weekend. And most listeners probably know about Russia's oil giant, Yukos, which looks like it's going to be sold off. Following several tax bills and suspicion that its executives are guilty of fraud and tax evasion. Now, what most people probably don't know is that although modern Central Europe is now part of the EU, is now part of NATO, most of the Russian oil companies are still major suppliers of oil to this part of the world. And Yukos in Slovakia, for example, has a 49% stake in the oil company Transgas. And with its uncertain future, Slovakia is worried, especially because 51% of the shares are state-owned. So that's going to be the main story we're going to be reporting on in Inside Central Europe. Besides that, we'll be also looking at Slovenia, where a group of people went on a hunger strike to highlight the fact that 18,000 people who live in Slovenia have lost Slovene citizenship just because they were from other former Yugoslav republics when Slovenia gained independence.
And what's going to be in magazine?
Now, in the past few months, we've had numerous people claiming to have seen a puma running around a region in Moravia. The authorities have been trying to catch it, but have been unsuccessful. Some even doubted whether it was indeed a puma, but it's a fact now because there really is a wildcat running around. Someone's caught it on film. So Daniela Lazarova will be telling us more about that in magazine. And she'll also be looking at the result of an opinion poll, which suggests that most Czechs feel Václav Klaus makes a better president than his predecessor, the writer and former dissident Václav Havel.
Thanks, Dita. You're tuned to Radio Prague, where it's time now for the arts, today with Rosie Johnston.
Today's arts takes a look at the Czech literary phenomenon that is Michal Vivek. Loved and hated in equal measure in the Czech Republic, he has yet to take the English-speaking market by storm. When he does, we too can expect to see his face all over the covers of magazines and stands in bookshops dedicated to his considerable output. I met up with Michal Vivek to ask him about how it was to be a writer in the current Czech climate.
No tak já si rozhodně nemohu stěžovat, protože
Well, I certainly can't complain. In the 80s, I wrote two novels, and neither of them were published. They were banned from being printed for the normal ideological reasons. After the revolution came absolute freedom. I was able to write just how I wanted, and to publish whatever I wanted. What's more, I became a best-selling author, which was obviously really fantastic. I make a living, and these are golden times for me.
Takže se tím i velmi dobře uživím, takže pro mě jsou to tedy zlaté časy.
Michal Vivek has been around for a while. In the 80s, the Czech paper Mladá fronta dnes published some of his stories and sketches. One of the first of his books to be published was Baječná léta pod psa, or The Wonderful Years of Lousy Living. It has since been made into a film. Here's a snippet translated by O.T. Chalkstone. The he in the first sentence refers to the grandfather of the main character, Kvido.
On occasions, he would spend hours feeding the budgies or playing Louis Armstrong and Ella Fitzgerald records at full volume. Grandmother, a fur coat seamstress, spent all her time at home, sewing from dawn to dusk. Dragging her feet across the creaking parquet floor around an old Claudius dummy, her mouth full of pins. Quido's father did his best to stay out of the house. Together with his friend Zvara, they would climb over the battlements at Vyšehrad. They played hide-and-seek in the carriages on the sidings at the Bushovice train station. Sometimes they stayed overnight in the great hall at high school. They would do voluntary jobs, and two evenings a week Guido's father attended classes at the School of Foreign Languages. Coming home late at night and reading under the small desktop lamp from English textbooks, which he propped up against a cage covered in budgie excrement, he would at times experience a feeling tantamount to that of reciting the words of a mysterious prayer.
In the fine literary tradition, Vivek's relationship with Czech critics is at times stormy. When The Wonderful Years of Lousy Living came out, it was quite well received. Feelings about his more recent texts have been more mixed. Lenka Jungmanova works at the Institute of Czech Literature in Prague. She told me what she thought about Vivek's novels.
I think that he has generally, in the last couple of years, veered towards so-called tabloid or popular writing. I think this has been a deliberate move because his success, I suppose, has brought more contracts and commercial ventures. Normally, in popular fiction, the author's voice and writing style are completely absent, or at least suppressed. But with Vivek, this is not the case, and I think this is why he's so popular. He tells his stories nicely, and what we think is going to happen, happens.
Point of continuous contention in Vivek's work is how much of it is autobiographical. This is what Vivek had to say on the matter.
Možná víc než jiní autoři, jak si používám tu hru.
Maybe I play games with what is real and what is fiction more than other authors. But for goodness sake, this doesn't mean that when I write about things like the town that I live in or the job that I do, that I'm writing about me. One of the editors of Elle magazine once called me up. They were doing some survey on sex and eroticism. She asked me if I make love with my eyes closed, and how long my foreplay normally lasts. I said it was personal, and I wasn't going to answer. She replied that I write about these things all the time, and so why was I shying away from them now? I told her that she had made a mistake, and that I don't write about how long my foreplay lasts, and whether I make love with my eyes closed. I write about characters called Max, Hugo, and Quido, and I would be ashamed to be writing these things about myself.
Lenka Jungmanova seems to agree.
It's clear to me that in his prose, Vivek deliberately employs autobiographical detail, so he's obviously parodying this autobiographical way of looking at literature. This, I suppose, causes some people to look for the truth or what is real in his books, but I think mainly he's just toying with his readers in doing so.
But I'll leave you to decide for yourself what to think of all this with another excerpt. This passage is taken from Vivek's latest book, Vibiena, which means dodgeball,
and nicely encapsulates a lot of the themes that come up in the novel. Make your own mind up on whether it's a hit or a miss.
They didn't notice when on the bend, just before the finishing line, he suddenly collapsed. It was only after a few moments that a bunch of people noticed. It wasn't from what was being said, but from the movements of the grown-ups that they realized it was serious. The coach was running somewhere, ignoring their questions. Training was well and truly over. A small body was lying motionless on the bend. Above it, the second coach was leaning over. They wanted to look for themselves, but somebody ordered them to stay where they were. What had happened to him? He had died, they were told irritably. For a moment there was a dumbfounded silence. The minutes passed. What had at first caused such a commotion was now just downright boring. Nothing was happening. The body was just lying there. It was getting difficult to keep up this serious behaviour. If he hadn't have been old, then he wouldn't have died. And what about the game of football? Let's get on with it. They tentatively went to fetch the ball and put down two cones as goals in the middle of the stadium. The coach came over and quietly told them that now was not the right time to be playing football. He pointed to the bend in the track.
Rosie Johnston was speaking to Czech literary giant Michal Vivek. Well, I'm afraid that's all we have time for today. For now, for me, Kate Barrett, thanks for listening and until next time.
Pořád mě říkáš, abych šel, než se to zase všechno vrátí. Medová láska je zlá, pár včel se ztratí. Stulený tuleň u dveří a tvoje kůže ještě hladká. Temnota světlou se zdá a mříž je bratka. Dál zasít, dál zasít. No tak mi povídej, co bych si tak měl sebou vzít, abych měl na silnici klid. A co ti můžu ještě dát? Tažených párem bílej komů.